Our scripture reading this morning is from Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. So then, you Gentiles are not foreigners or strangers any longer. You are now fellow citizens with God's people and members of the family of God. You too are built upon the foundation laid by the apostles and prophets, the cornerstone being Jesus Christ himself. He is the one who holds the whole building together and makes it grow into a sacred temple dedicated to the Lord. In union with him, you too are being built together with all the others into a place where God lives through his Spirit.
I'm going to sing from the Black Book, number 2068, I Love You, Lord. We're going to sing it through two times. The first time we're going to sing, I Love You, Lord. The second time, We Love You, Lord. Two times of number 2068 in the Black Book.
Let's make this a request for praise, not only for the song while we're singing it also, but for Valen's message this morning.
Will you pray with me? But may my words be a sweet sound in your ear and to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For 2 years in a row, my husband Dave did time in Siberia. Now, he wasn't banished there, but rather he was asked to teach preaching in a Bible school in the town of Irkutsk, which is right near Lake Baikal, and it is 6 time zones from Moscow. Now, if you didn't already know, Russia has 11 time zones. So this is 6 time zones east of Moscow. The Bible school met in a very small, little, decrepit church building that sat about 100 worshipers on Sunday morning, but then Monday through Saturday, the students of the Bible school met in this little building. Every morning, after there had been a snowfall overnight, which there was, the parishioners would get up on the roof, some of them, and shovel the snow off and down to other people who were waiting with wheelbarrows. And then they would take the snow down the street to the edge of town and dump it there. So the first time he went in February. And he noticed that out behind where this little church building was, they were building a brand new church building. Now, the way they do it in Eastern Europe is that the congregation actually builds the church, physically builds the church, and they collect enough money so that they can buy materials, and then they come and they work on the church. And then they wait until they can get more money and materials, and they continue working on it. Now, when he was there in February, there was the foundation had already been laid, but he didn't see anybody working on it that year. The next year, he was invited back in March. And he was happy to see that they had done more work on it. The walls of the building were about waist high. And he said you could begin to see this church building taking shape. You could see where the sanctuary was going to be and where classrooms were going to be. And then Dave noticed that in the walls of the building, of the church building, there were steel reinforcement rods about every 12 feet or so. But then he also noticed that there were these little wires sticking up about 6 inches apart, just a little bit out of the cement, all the way around the wall. And he said something to one of his students, and he said, "Those are interesting little reinforcement wires, although I can't imagine that they can do much good." And the student laughed and said, no, that's not for reinforcement. We hook that up to an electrical current so that the walls do not freeze before they harden. Now, you can imagine in Siberia there's a small window of time each year when they can actually build, but these people have learned how to get past that so that they can continue to build, and so they run electrical current through the walls of their church so that they can build it more quickly. I think that's a great image for the church. You are the building blocks of the church. And the Holy Spirit is the electricity that runs through your walls. This building here, as beautiful as it is merely a shell. It is made of matter and steel and glass and plaster and wood. It's a tool for ministry to reach out into the community with the love of Christ. All of you are the electricity that makes this building hum. All across the nation and around the globe, there are Christians who are empowered by the Holy Spirit to carry on the work that Jesus calls each one of us to do. It's the electricity in the cement that makes the difference. Lauren Bethel is one of our American Baptist Global Consultant Missionaries, and some of you may have heard Lauren's name because she is the individual who started the New Life Center in Chiang Mai, Thailand, working with girls to help get them out of prostitution or to keep them from going into it or being trafficked. And she worked there for almost 2 decades. And now, for the past 15 years, she has been a global consultant on human trafficking, and she goes all over the world working with organizations and governments and institutions and grassroots organizations, helping them with projects to help this problem that is worldwide of people being exploited and abused and trafficked. I saw Lauren a couple of weeks ago at the mission conference in Green Lake, but a few years ago, Lauren was there also at a mission conference, and she shared about this problem in our world and about the ministry that she and many others have. At that same conference was Malka Sangalushvili, who at that time was the executive director, executive minister, like our Larry Swain, of the Georgian Baptist Union in the Republic of Georgia. He was also and still is the pastor of the Baptist Church in the capital city of Tbilisi. Malkaz was blown away by what he heard Lauren share because somehow he had not heard about this problem of human trafficking. And he came to her and he said, "You must come to the Republic of Georgia and talk to my people and other Georgian Baptists because I think they're going to be as surprised as I was to hear about this problem and to think that it might even be in our own country." After the conference, Malkaz went back to Georgia and he told and shared with his congregation about Lauren and her work and the work that others are doing. After the worship service, a woman in his church came up to him and she said, "I was so happy to hear about that woman and her work. For the past 20 years, I have been reaching out and trying to minister to the young prostitute women who live in my apartment building. And I thought I was alone in this. And to find out that there are others who are doing it and that it is an important work." Lauren was able to go later and to share with them and other Georgian Baptists who began to have a passion for those that were being trafficked right in their own country and city. Those people are being electric cement in the world. Look around us. What are the needs right in our neighborhood or community that needs us to be electric cement? Last Sunday at our town hall meeting, and I'm sorry for those of you that missed it, but we had a wonderful time discussing and looking at and writing down all of our circles of connectedness outside of these walls, and we came up with almost 24 of them. Larry Swain only had 8 circles on his initial paper, so we blew him away by coming up with 24 of them that need us to be electric cement in our community. In the passage that Dave just read from the book of Ephesians, Paul tells us that you, the members of this congregation, are actually the building of the kingdom of God. Now, think about how we build structures and buildings. And I'm not a architect or a builder, but you know, we measure and we cut stone and we, you know, place it on top of each other. And then the last thing we add is the cornerstone. But in biblical times, the cornerstone was the first stone to be laid. They would take a stone and they would carefully tune it, chipping away at the edges until it was perfectly squared. And then it was laid exactly on one corner of the building. And every other block of stone that was placed along the foundation or in the wall was oriented toward that cornerstone. And that's what Paul is referring to here. He's saying that Christ is the chief cornerstone. And the whole building, all of God's people, you and me, no matter where we are or what we're doing, we are joined together in Him. We are oriented toward Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. But notice the last verse in this passage. It says that the Spirit of God is the one who empowers, the one who electrifies the whole building, so that this building then becomes a place from which to do ministry, not only a place in which to do ministry. We need to keep our focus out there as our walls pulsate with the electrical charge of the Holy Spirit. All of you who are members of First Baptist, you are the electric walls here at First Baptist in Delaware. The secret comes in the Holy Spirit who lives in and among us, who makes us that electric cement. We're living stones who are called to be obedient to God's purposes. But it takes special attention to the community within the building as well as the community outside these walls and the needs of both. Church statistics show that most people today who come to church for the first time come because someone has invited them. And when they've been asked, "Why didn't you go before?" they said, "Because no one asked me." I've said this before, that no longer can we simply open our doors on Sunday morning or any other time, and they will come. The primary goal for us to have more people come to church is simply not to increase the church membership, but rather to meet the needs to make and grow disciples. This physical building is to be used to do just that. I want to tell you about one of our sister congregations, the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Oradea, Romania. Dr. Nick was a medical doctor, and this was during the communist regime in Romania. And he was a member of the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Now, under communism, most of the pastors, even today, many of them in Eastern Europe, have no theological education, and they have a full-time job, and then they have full-time pastoring. But under communism, they would just choose the most spiritual person in the congregation to be their pastor. And for years, people had been asking Dr. Nick to be their pastor, and he kept turning them down and saying, you know, no, I'm a medical doctor. But finally, God worked on his heart, and he finally said, okay, I will be your pastor. And soon after he became their pastor, he was imprisoned. An outcry went out around the world among Baptists, and they were able to gain his release. But the communist government would not allow him, would not give him permission to actually live in that community. And this happened under communism in all the countries that were under that regime, that everybody had to carry a piece of paper with them that showed what town, what village, what city they lived in. And they could be stopped at any time to show that piece of paper. Well, they didn't give Dr. Nick a permission to live in the community. He didn't have one of those pieces of paper. So what he did was he stayed in the home of a different church member every night. And he would move from house to house, a different house and a different bed every night for 4 years. He did that. And then finally, he was given permission again, and he got his card to carry with him. The church there, Emmanuel Baptist, grew under Dr. Nick's leadership. They were bursting at the seams in the little church that they had, and soon they decided they needed to build a new building. And as I said, it's the church people that build the buildings, and so they would give money until they had enough to buy the materials that they needed, and then they would come, the women, the men, the women, the children, after work and on Saturdays, and they would begin to build the building. And so they started this building project. Well, soon after that, Dr. Nick, because of his leadership skills, was asked to become the general secretary of the Romanian Baptist Union. And so that meant a move for him from Oradea to Bucharest. And so he had to leave being pastor of the church. And he went and he began to serve in Bucharest. And about a year later, he came back to the church in Oradea. And he said, how are things going? And they said, oh, things are going great, Dr. Nick. You know, we're continuing to grow. We're bursting at the seams. More and more people are coming to Christ. And then Dr. Nick said, and how is the building program coming? And I said, you know, Dr. Nick, you know, we had to stop because we just ran out of materials and we ran out of money. Dr. Nick took off his wedding band. And he said, do you remember how the children of Israel raised money for the tabernacle? They brought their jewelry. And he said, this wedding band is very sacred to my wife and me. But he put it in the offering plate. And he said, I'm going to give it to you, and I want you to sell it. And I want you to take the money, and I want you to buy more building materials and get this building built. And they passed the offering plates around, and there were 89 more rings, bracelets, earrings, and necklaces in the offering plates that day. They took all of it, and they sold it, and they bought materials, and they began working on their church building again. About a year later, Dr. Nick was back at Emmanuel Baptist. And again, he said, how are things going? And they said, oh, Dr. Nick, things are so wonderful. And more people are finding out about the love of Jesus. And how is the building project going? And they were afraid to tell him, but they again had come to a standstill with no materials and no money. And so Dr. Nick took his car keys out of his pocket. And he said, I'm considered a rich man in our country because I own a car. And he put it in the offering plate. And he said, I want you to take this car, and I want you to sell it, and I want you to buy the materials, and I want you to get going on this building. And they passed the offering plates, and six more sets of car keys came in the offering that day. And they sold them all, and they began building their building again. Today, the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Oradea has a beautiful new church building. It seats 2,000 with room for 150 in the choir loft. The church owns and operates two orphanages. They have a Christian high school for 300 students and a seminary that can house 1,000. They have a Christian radio station that broadcasts the gospel 24/7. They are constantly doing programs that are meeting the needs in the community around the church. It is the largest Baptist church on the continent of Europe. Those people knew what it means to be electric cement in their community. They have perceived that their building is only a tool for ministry, one that certainly required them sacrificial giving, but they know that they are the real building in their community. They are the cement that has been electrified by the Holy Spirit working in and through them. You are the building right here in Delaware. And the question is, how will we carry on our ministry in our corner of this town? What's here that needs the attention of a congregation with a building with electric walls? This building is meant to be used to reach out to others with the good news of Jesus Christ. To those at Helpline, Andrew's House, Family Promise, Penn, Restart, and Ohio Wesleyan. We have that opportunity next Sunday to be electric cement, to go to that orientation program, to meet some of those students, to let them know what a wonderful church home family we have here, and that they are welcome to come and be their church away from their home church while they're at the university. We have that opportunity in the weeks to come as we pray that students will come, to let them know how welcome they are here, to make them feel at home. Will we get new members out of this? No. Will we get increased money for our budget? Probably not. But we will be ministering to people right here in our community, just a couple of blocks away. And in the coming weeks and months, our church ministry boards, the parish council, the church committee, and all of you will be thinking, talking, envisioning, dreaming, and planning for ways that we can make a difference in the lives of people already in our church, as well as those right outside these doors. But this can only happen if we allow ourselves to be electric cement. So, First Baptist, are you ready to be electrified? Let us pray. Lord, you have called us and you have empowered us through your Holy Spirit to be your people. Lord, help us to take that command to go and make disciples right here in our community. Help us to be electric cement, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is number 224, How Firm a Foundation. Our foundation is in Jesus Christ, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be all that He wants us to be. We're going to be singing verses 1 and 4 of number 224. Hear these words from 2 Timothy. The solid foundation that God has laid cannot be shaken. And on it are written these words, the Lord knows those who are His. Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father, and you shall be entered into the God of God, and you shall be entered into the God of God.